chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. If you're using a pew Bible, it's 954, page 954. And going through this book that Paul has written to the believers at Corinth, we come to a passage that's very disturbing, that this type of sin would be in the church and the attitude of the believers toward that sin. And so this evening, as we consider sin in the church, let's think about our own lives and the sin that maybe we don't take very seriously, and what are the consequences of that in our lives and in the church also. So let's pray before we study. Father, we love you and thank you for your love to us. We thank you for this time to worship you through the reading and teaching of your word, a passage that is disturbing as we read about sexual immorality and how it affected the church. And we look at our nation today and all the sexual abuse that we see in this country and throughout the world. We're just reminded of how sinful we can be. So, Lord, give us understanding of this passage. Help us to look deeply at our own hearts as you would search our hearts by your Holy Spirit, looking for any sin whatsoever that would harm the fellowship between each of us as your children and you and one another. Father, we look forward to this time of instruction. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Well, every time you turn around these days, somebody's committing some kind of a sexual sin. It's all over the place. And it just shows the depravity of a culture that has basically tried to put God on the back burner, and maybe not even in the house at all, and just base the culture on what you and I think is right and acceptable and good for the nation. And we all know, as believers in Christ, this is totally unacceptable. And especially in the church. Can you imagine having that kind of immorality in any church that is serious about their relationship with Christ and honoring the teaching of Scripture? And so this is horrendous here, and I know we all would have the same feeling. But look at verse 2. And you are arrogant. That compounds the sin. Some of them are even bragging about this, arrogant about what is going on here. And this, again, is horrendous. And then look at what Paul says that the attitude should be. Ought you not rather to mourn? The word ought may be translated, it is necessary for you to mourn, to be grieved. And this is something that you and I need to check our own attitude about. Are we stricken with grief over the sin in our own lives? And I know you all, and I know this would never be named in our church. I hope and pray it never would be. But what about the sin that might be in our lives and as a result in the church? Because you know your heart and I know mine. Am I grieved about the sin that I'm fighting, and do I take it seriously enough to do something about it? Or have I allowed Satan to convince me of the lie? It's okay. Sin is never okay. And a church should never be arrogant about any sin that is in the church. Then he goes on to say this, let him who has done this be removed from among you. That's excommunication. Because the individual that's guilty of the sin would not be repentant. Maybe he was even bragging as well. And that is the only ground that we would use to excommunicate someone if we had evidence of a sin that they were not broken over and they were not repentant. And so it would be our responsibility as teaching elders and ruling elders in the church to meet with this individual and counsel with them and strongly call them to repentance. And if they didn't do this, then we would scripturally be moved to excommunicate them. And this, yes, this is church discipline. It's a very serious case. And this is a responsibility that we have as a body of Christ to keep ourselves pure by God's grace and the Spirit of God working in us, thereby keeping the body pure and pleasing to God. Now, we go on into verse 3. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, I stop there. You know, Paul is giving some very strong instructions here. We must always keep in mind, you go back to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Go back to chapter 3. This is important to understand in this context. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Paul is writing to a group of believers that have not been believers that long. And so he's calling them to really act mature and face the sin and deal with it and not take it like they are taking it. And so the beauty of being in a church and a body of Christ for an extended period of time, as we get to know each other, we pray together, we grow spiritually together, and we get to know each other, and we can pray for one another and encourage one another. Therefore, we would be less likely to be intentionally living in sin because of the love that we all have for the Lord and the love that we have for one another. After all, how many times did you get a whipping and your parents said, I do this because I love you? And I was thinking, I can tell you some other ways to show me that you love me. But the Lord does the same thing. He disciplines us because He loves us. And we are His body, and His body is holy. It's totally different from the world. It's different from any other organization that you and I might be a member of outside the body. Therefore, this body is to be holy like every other body of Christ that follows the Lord Jesus and trusts in Him alone for salvation. And so it's a responsibility that we do this with the presence of the Spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So see, we don't do this of the flesh. We don't go after people in our flesh. I think you're sinning. I think you ought to repent. And I don't think you're repenting, so I'm going to nail you. No, no. It's the Holy Spirit moving. And the whole purpose of church discipline, if you look in Galatians 6, is restoration. Brethren, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a brother. And so the purpose of church discipline is to restore, bring the individual back into fellowship with Christ and the body. Not to just say, well, you didn't do it right, and just kick them out. No, that's not biblical. And this is what Paul is urging here. Now let's go back to chapter 5 and look at verse 5. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Those are pretty bold words. Turn the individual over to Satan. That's a scary thing to do. In the years I've been here, I think I've only done this once. And it was a hard thing to do. But the individual that I was working with basically told me to get out of their life. They didn't want me around. And I said, okay. Go ahead and bust hell wide open and see how you like that. And I got up and walked out. That's why I'm not a counselor. But this individual needed a spiritual punch in the nose to see the reality that this individual was dealing with and what the consequences would be if they didn't come to Christ. Now, should we have to do this? Should we have to do this? It doesn't mean we wash our hands and let that individual just go to hell. No, we continue to pray. We continue to reach out, praying that God would intervene in that person's life and they come to know Christ. And then when they come to know Christ and we have followed the biblical principle, when we have shown love to that person walking through that difficult time, then God would probably use us into rebuilding that person in their faith. The one I've just mentioned. That's what happened. Eventually, that individual came to know Christ as their Savior. That was the blessing. And grow in their faith. And God gave me the opportunity to share in that. But I didn't confront in the flesh, because that individual could have confronted me with my sin in the flesh as well. We're all guilty. So there's a compassionate heart, a heart of genuine love and concern. But sometimes God tells us, would you just step aside and let me do my work, and I will bring you back later on. And sometimes that's what you and I need to do when the Spirit of God is saying, you go over there and sit down and pray and I'll take it from here. I can't do that. I'm a preacher. I want to see him come to know Christ. I got to save him. You and I can't save a soul. You and I can't bring anybody out of any addiction. It's got to come from within. And as we as believers pray, we pray the Spirit of God will work. And we've seen the Lord work that way. But are you and I willing to be obedient for God to say, sit down and pray? And then God will say, get up and go. And when you get the word to get up and go, we need to get up and go. But it takes us being spiritually mature in the Lord and trusting the Lord to work in that person while the Lord has us over here. And that's hard to do. That is not an easy thing to do. For family members or friends, we love them. We want them fixed now. And God, I've got a little more work I want to do. Come over here. And that's what Paul is saying here. We should never give up. We should never give up. The most powerful thing that you and I can do for someone who's caught in a sin and is so blinded by sin is to pray. There's one thing they can't stop you and me from doing, and that's praying. And that's power in that prayer. So don't ever stop praying. That's what we need to do. Now, let's look at verse 6. Because he goes back now, and he's addressing the congregation. Your boasting is not good. Your arrogance, your boasting in sin is not good. It's not acceptable at all. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And of course, he's talking about the yeast in the dough that causes it to rise. But this is so true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little sin in my life and in your life will begin to permeate and spread in the body of Christ if we don't confess it and repent, ask for forgiveness, and stop it. And you and I know this, and it's our responsibility keep a guard on our own hearts. And then when the Lord places it on your heart and mine, when someone else as we see is struggling and drifting away, then we need to reach out to them. Now how they respond, I don't know, and you don't either. But you and I need to respond in a loving, caring fashion. But to boast about any sin that any of us have in our lives is not good and not acceptable. That sin is going to permeate the individual's life and eventually go to other people in the body. Notice what he says in verse 7. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. It says, cleanse out the old leaven. This verb, cleanse out, means a thorough cleansing. Second mission trip I went on, a group of about 7 or 8 of us went to Honduras with World Reach. We went up in the mountains of Saguatepeque, and I was with a missionary, and we came up on this lady and her daughter at the laundromat. The laundromat was a rock about this big. There was a stream coming down the mountain. She had a bar of soap about that big around. And she was soaping up the dress or the clothes. And she'd take that thing and wham, hit it on the rock. And then go back and forth. And I thought, man, I'm going to open a clothing store in this place. They're going to tear everything up they own. But you should have seen the scrubbing that woman was putting on those clothes. And when she finished, it was clean. That's a thorough cleansing. Thorough means to get it all out. And this is what you and I do on a daily basis. As the Holy Spirit reveals attitudes that you and I have that are not acceptable to the Lord, we have to get it purged. We have to admit it's ours, and it's sin. It's not acceptable to you, Lord. Therefore, it's not acceptable to me. And I know I'm guilty. Help me. And each of us are responsible for that, to cleanse that thorough cleansing, that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Lord is dealing with Pharisees again. And the Lord says in John 8, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And brothers and sisters, you and I are free because we're in Christ. The only power that sin has on us is what we let it have. Think about it. The only power that sin has in us is what we submit to sin and let it rule us. And so we have to be aware, where am I letting sin rule in my body? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. This is a salutation to the church there at Corinth. "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctification means to be set apart. In this context right there, sanctified in Christ Jesus means you and I have been set apart by Christ. What have we been set apart from? Sin. You name it, we've been set apart. And then look at the next phrase. We're called to be saints. God has called us to be saints. Now, same word there, same root word, but called to be saints means God has called us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which is spiritual maturity. And I'm sure every one of us here this evening can look back on our lives from the time we became a believer in Christ and where we are now, and we can look back and reflect and see how God graciously has conformed me to the image of Christ, where this sin doesn't have any power over me like it used to. Notice I didn't say it ain't going to bother you again. That won't be right. But it doesn't have the power over us because of the image of Christ being restored in us, the maturity, the spiritual growth that we have. And our determination is stronger. I don't want to be that way. I don't want sin ruling my life anymore. And the Holy Spirit shows us areas in our lives where that's happening. And then He gives us the power to overcome it. And this is what happens. Now, let's go back to chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 5, in verse 7, the last phrase in verse 7, "For Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed." Let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, a very familiar passage, probably to all of us in here. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." This is a spiritual healing here. This is a spiritual healing that he's talking about here. He mentions transgressions. He mentions iniquities. He talks about peace. This is spiritual. This is not physical. Yes, God does heal us physically. He uses the doctors and nurses and all these technicians and the medications and the knowledge we have today. It's awesome what God has given to us for our health. And he can heal us directly if he chooses. But this is talking about spiritual healing here. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You recall the meaning of iniquity is sin and guilt. Christ took care of it all. Sin and guilt. So the sin that we're guilty of, we're not guilty of because of Christ. He was sacrificed on our behalf. And so Christ is our Passover. We've been freed. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. "Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, with the leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and in truth." Let's celebrate our life in Christ. Paul says in Philippians, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." We desirous to work out that salvation, that life that God has given to you and me. The spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, the joy, the love, the peace, the fellowship with the Lord and with each other. We want that. We want it to be closer and deeper and richer. We work at it. How do we work at it? We get the sin out. And we pray for each other and we love each other. Now, look at this next one. "Not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil." That refers to the old sinful nature. That refers to the old sinful nature. The old sinful nature raises its ugly head every now and then. And we fight it. We don't give in to it. You know when that's coming on you. In your heart and your mind, you know the road you're on. I know it when I'm on that road, and I don't like it. But sometimes I make a wrong turn and end up in the middle of it. And then I think, oh, man, I've done it again. Then there goes the confession, the repentance, and asking for forgiveness, and it's granted. But we do it with the leaven, with unleavened bread. Of sincerity and truth. Sincerity. Purity of mind. That's what sincerity means. Purity of mind. We want to think the thoughts of Christ. Paul says, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth." It takes discipline to do that. But we've got the power and the ability to do it. And truth. Untarnished by the evil influence of impurity. That truth is the Word of God. Not the truth that the world has to offer. The truth that is God's Word. The truth that defines sin for you and me. What is acceptable to God and what is not. Brothers and sisters, this is keeping the church healthy. And the bottom line is, It's keeping ourselves spiritually healthy. That's part of being a believer, is being spiritually healthy. How healthy am I spiritually? Well, who's my doctor? You got the best one you could ever have. The Spirit of God living in you and teaching you and empowering you and me every day. That's the doctor. That's the one we need to turn to. And then when we get in these spiritual battles and we get worn down mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who can pray for us and encourage us. I thank the Lord for this church, for all of you, for your desire to learn the Word of God and live the Word of God, your desire to worship faithfully Sunday after Sunday. It speaks loudly of your commitment to Christ and your walk with Him. And let's don't slow down. Get your Sunday afternoon out and keep on going. We all need it. I'm just about to put you out now, so I'll be quiet. But that's what it's all about. Commitment to Christ and being faithful. And we'll be healthy. We'll even get healthier when we walk with the Lord. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to worship you this afternoon, for your presence here by your Holy Spirit, for the instruction you've given to us from your Word. Father, you've spoken to each and every one of us in our hearts. And I pray now that you will empower us to walk in obedience to what you've taught us. And we would purify our hearts and our minds. Should we see any brother or sister in Christ that is straying away, and you choose to use us to encourage them to return, to deal with the sin in their lives, may we be obedient to how you use us in the lives of one another. I ask this in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Week I had the privilege of meeting with Pam and Noah, and Pam's been with us for, I know, over a year. Noah's been getting treatments for cancer, and she's doing much better, and so Noah's been worshiping with us for several months now. Feels led to unite with the church. So Noah has we met this week, and she. Shared her testimony with me, and we had a good time of fellowship. So she's coming to join and met with the elders tonight, and she comes to join, making a public profession of faith and being baptized. And Pam is going to be an associate member. Her membership is in a church in California, but she's a very faithful member and a part of that church. And she wants to be under the care of the session while she remains here with Noah. And so she's going to be an associate member. And so the session has received her as well. So Noah and Pam, if you'll come and stand right here. Noah, if you'll stand right here, okay. Yeah, you're good. Just so I can reach you, though. I got to be able to reach you. There you go. Yeah. All right. Noah, because of your faith in Christ, you're trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Lord Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And so by the authority given to me as a pastor, it is a blessing for me that I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for working in our hearts and calling us to be your children and adopting us as your very own. We thank you for Noah, how you worked in her heart over the years, her faith in you and her walk with you, and how you brought her to a point to publicly profess Jesus as her Savior. And we thank you, Father, that when we confess you before men, that you confess us before our Heavenly Father. And I pray for Noah. I pray for her continued spiritual growth. I pray for continued healing and her health, that you strengthen her and meet every need that she has. And thank you for her and her fellowship and her encouragement here at Third. I thank you for Pam and her faith in you and in her life and her walk with you. Thank you, Father, for her desire to be here and to be a part of this part of the body, to receive spiritual guidance from teaching and ruling elders here. Father, I pray that you just bless Pam in a special way. Keep the evil away from Pam and Noah and from all of us. And Father, help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I ask all this in your Son and our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you just, two of you, come around here? Mary Ellen, will you come down? By the way, Noah is in the Air Force. She is internal medicine. She's a doctor. And she's doing dermatology right now, okay?
Starting in July.
In July, okay. So she'll be with us a few more years. And we hope Pam's going to be with us too, all right? So you all come down and give the right hand of fellowship to Noah and to Pam. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, again, we rejoice in your love to us. This very special blessing for Pam and Noah and us as a church family. Thank you that you brought them to us, and I pray that we'll be a blessing to them as they already have been to us. Dismiss us with your grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.